Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
When we all go back to the beginning of the New Testament and we start reading again. Matthew chapter 2, we'll read from verse 1 and maybe take the first 12 verses. All right. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." Verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. All right, praise the Lord. All right, so again, we are at that point in the year where we must proclaim that this season is not about Santa Claus. It's not about wearing a particular color of uniform, or it's not about wearing red. It's not wearing white. It's not about children's party. It's not about killing turkeys. These are things that we have made for ourselves. And the beautiful thing about all those things that I've mentioned is that we need them. All right? We need them. But we should not lose the essence of the moment. Now, let's have a brief review of these first 12 verses. And I hope that it may shed some light along your way. Now, the first thing, my first point of consideration. Now, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judah. And, you know, before now, I used to assume that when the Pharisees and scribes opposed Jesus, it was because they didn't know who he was. Are you with me? I said I used to think, until I read Matthew chapter 2, that, oh, they just hated him because he wasn't paying homage to them. You know, if Jesus had gone to the temple to introduce himself and said, "We are here to work together, we are partners," nobody will kill him. Huh? So I want you to think about it. Peradventure, the things you are doing for God only makes men love you. And you have not made enemies. Peradventure, you are not working for God. Because the person you are claiming to follow was killed for his message. Alright, so that's an aside. But just think about it. So I used to think that the Pharisees did not really know who Jesus was. But I want us to consider a few things here. When there was an announcement that a king had been born. There were wise men, magicians. Those wise men were magicians. They were not prophets. They were not pastors. The first set of people to know that there was a shift in the atmosphere were magicians. So when you make an excuse for not walking in revelation, I want you to know that there are people that already know about you. Are you still here? God, you know, the fact that Jesus was the Son of God did not prevent magicians from knowing. Are you here? You are not here. I said the fact that I would have expected that if I was his father, I would protect his star. Nobody would know. So that nobody would be able to harm him. They were the first to know. The high priest did not know. The prophets did not know. The scribes did not know. The bishops did not know. The archbishops did not know. The magicians knew. So I'm saying this to stir in you a sense of true spirituality. To choose to be close to the Lord, because there are some things that only God can reveal. Even if a pastor prays, he will only tell you it is well. As we step into this new year, let it be one of your personal goals to be close to the Lord. Look at verse 2. It was asked, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen what? His star. This matter of stars, you know, hint. We have seen his star in the east. There was a time in this church many years ago, I started to teach about the east. You know, those of you who have been in church for years, I mentioned that the east, when you see the east in the scripture like this, it represents the spiritual realm. When Muslims pray, where do they face? When Daniel was praying, where was he facing? There's something about positioning that gives you access to certain things. I'm not asking you to face the east though, because some of you are thinking, where's the east here now? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just trying to tell you that there's something about positioning. The Israeli, when he wants to pray, if he's not in his country, he has to look for the location of Zion, Jerusalem, and face that place. The moment he faces Jerusalem, there is no distance spiritually between him and Zion again. Even if he's in another city, the heart becomes one. This guy said they saw his star in the east. Representative of, we saw his star in this realm of the spirit. We saw him in among the heavenly bodies. And when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled. Because, you see, even though Herod may not be a believer, he may not serve the God of the Jews, he knows the implication of spiritual things. Because for you to be appointed as Herod, you must be a worshiper of idols. Your commitment to the gods of your country must not be in doubt. Because some of us are asking for what we are asking for, authority. But our commitment is still not. You are there, but there's something about your commitment that is not convincing. So and let me give you a few tips. Because some of you may be wondering, how do I know? Number one, if God is the one who takes the heat anytime something is wrong in your life, if God is the one who suffers when your boyfriend breaks up with you, if God is the one who must be blamed when you get a query, if God is the one who gets the blame when they steal your phone and you say, but I pay my tithe. Have you said that before? Like, but I'm a tither. Why should my phone be stolen? Why not? If your phone was an Alcatel, nobody would steal it. It was a Nokia 3310. Even when it drops, the thief will call and say, sister, I'm a thief, but I have level. I have class. I don't steal 3310. We have graduated. That was in the year 96, 97. I don't do this anymore. iPhone 14. No, sir. I will even call you and tell you, oh, yeah, sign out of your iCloud so I can. I will tell you. Some people don't know. You know, there's a professional way to do everything. You want to be a thief, you don't even know how to be professional about it. You want to be the devil. Even the devil, sometimes I see weakness in what he does. Like, if I were you, I would not do it like, oh, sharp. You are not sharp. If you are sharp, you will not do it like this. So they saw his star and they came to worship him. Now, in verse 4, let's look at verse 4. As at this point, Herod was already aware that a king had been born. For Herod, even if that boy was a day old, it was already going to mark the end of his administration. So it was a serious matter. Did you observe how Herod started taking steps? He didn't want that child to grow. Do you understand what I'm saying? The moment the problem was identified, he didn't say, I can still leave it for now. We'll handle it next year. Are you learning here? Some of these small, small problems are the things that have become so difficult to deal with now. Put up verse 4. And when he gathered, who gathered? This guy is a worshiper of idols, but he did not mind. The custodians of these prophecies, we need to talk to them. Who did he gather? Did he call the prophets? He called the chief priest, the scribes. Were these not the people who were persecuting Jesus? He demanded of them, tell me specifically where Christ should be born. Direct question. You guys, this thing is your beat. Tell us about it. Next verse. They said to him in Bethlehem, oh my God, these guys knew. Can you see what I'm saying? They knew. Even when Jesus started preaching, they went back to his root to check. This guy was born in Bethlehem. This guy, So the problem was like, okay, you tick all the boxes, but you cannot be him. We don't like your beards. You are not tall enough. You are not the same way some people now are not married because they are looking for height. They are looking for height. Let me tell you, when you start paying bills, when you get married and you start paying bills, believe you me, don't wait to find out. Just trust me. The last thing on your mind is how tall your husband is or how petite your wife is. I'm telling you, you won't believe me now. It will be the last thing on your mind. When you see the new rent that has been allocated to you, your school fees, and you say, oh God. I've calculated my own. And that's what I said. I said, oh God. Because only God can do it. This money that we will pay next month, if I have it for myself, this is where I'll be working. I will even work well. There's no shaking. Okay, thank you. There's no shaking. No. We are, at least, from my level, I'm okay. I will not even tell anybody I have that money. But now, you have it or you don't have it, you must pay. These guys knew. Many times, the people that are around you that the enemy is using, they are lying. They know. They know. But nobody will admit that they were positioned by Satan against you. They know. These guys fought Jesus. They went after him for 3.5 years. But when Herod asked just one question, they couldn't lie. They gave Herod the dossier of the king. The king himself he was still trying to grow up. Sometimes your naivety, your innocence is what is blinding you from seeing what is in front of you. People are not as ignorant as you think. For you brothers trying to get the attention of a lady and she says she doesn't have time, she's always busy. My brother, move on. Move on. If a lady likes you, she won't stress you. All right? And nobody is playing hard to get again. The moment you play that card, we move. So, I'm just telling you. Okay. That was a prophetic word for somebody. Now, so they said, go ahead, give me the next verse. And now, look at the prophecy. Now, they referenced the prophecy, one of the prophecies that established the Savior's birth. They said, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are you not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of you shall come a governor, and he shall rule my people Israel. So they add this information. Now, when you take this information and put it side by side the way they treated Jesus, are you with me? Not everybody was in this meeting, but it was referenced. Now, when you put this the way they treated him, you now realize that they deliberately hated him. Some of the people, somebody went somewhere to pray with a friend, just escorted a friend, went to pray, and the prophet left the person that came, started prophesying to the person that escorted the friend. Say, you, God says it's your time to shine. God says you will be that this time, go and do this, go and do this. In 6 months, there will be a visitation. I told you to escort me. You should have told the prophet that, no, ma, I came with my friend. He's the one that needs the prophecy. The prophet now told the other one, say, it is well with you. This friendship is over. I know you. You are a covering cherub. You always cover people's destiny. Anywhere the people are with you, they will not shine. Nobody will see them. I said, follow me as a good friend. As a good friend. It's just like, so, let me just stay out of trouble. It's just like somebody proposes to Adeto. Eh? Adeto says no. Then the person proposes to Adeto's friend. That other one is ready to get married. Adeto is now angry. It's a girl code. Okay. Okay. I've heard you. The friendship will end, though, but I will get married. Now, Herod, in verse 7, privately called the wise men and inquired diligently what time the star appeared. Now, by the time you read this entire scripture, one of the things you will notice is that by the end of that story, when they got to Jesus, he was already a young child. Hello. That picture you have that you'll be seeing the next few days on TV, on Facebook, in swaddling clothes, is old information. By the time those magicians got to Jesus. Okay, some of you don't believe. Let's read verse 11. Same chapter, verse 11. And when they were coming to the house, they saw what? The young child. Did they say baby? They saw the young child with Mary's mother and fell down and worshipped him. Do you know what that means? Probably they saw the mother seated somewhere in the house. They saw Jesus also standing, playing on his feet. They prostrated before him. The moment they saw him, Ogoyen sorrow. The moment they saw him, the glory over his life. Yeah, people, old men don't bow down for it. They saw him. They said, this is the glory of a king. Jesus didn't demand it. They knew. In spiritual ranking, this one is not our mate. They knew. Even Mary didn't see that glory like that. Because she was the one who gave birth. And sometimes, being a spiritual midwife of a particular move of the Spirit may sometimes close your eyes to certain things about what the Lord has put in your hands. The Lord may, you may be married and the Lord will tell you, this is your wife. I'm going to use her for great things. And I want you to midwife that process. But because you, whatever they keep in your hands must become casual. So it's only when you go out, you see people telling that, this is your wife. Oh my, she's so amazing. She was at this conference. She's at this. Oh, your wife, you know, she gave me a counsel. This is what the Lord did for you. Your own is that when I get home, I want more on the table. I want rice in the evening and pounded jam in the middle of the night. Because you are from Benue State. It's very easy to casualize very deep things. Joseph did not see it. They knew it was prophetic. The mother did not see it. But when those magicians came, what did they do? They lay prostrate. See how we cannot come before a king empty-handed. They brought gold. Not commander. They brought gold. Gold. The value of gold. Just think about it. They brought gold. It's not gold earringo. They probably put it in a trinket box full of gold. If you see those men in heaven now, you say, hey, well, how did they get it? Just think about it. Sometimes if you read the Bible, slow down, think about it. So by the time this problem started, it was a baby. By the time they traced the star, they were tracing. It wasn't a one-day thing. Go look at verse 10. Let's look at verse 10. Because Herod told them, go and search for a star. The Bible says when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So it was not a one-day thing. It's like searching for something that is missing. And you have to depend on the star to guide you. It took them close to 2 years to find the house of Jesus. You know, the GPS was sometimes, it's not fluctuating. Sometimes God will want to punish them. It will take them this side again. They'll find themselves at Ekpe Express, Lagos Ekpe Expressway. Then you bring them back. You say, is this not a redemption camp? Meanwhile, the young man is in Bagada. Then you take them to Abeson Estate, somewhere in Yanokwaja. Then take them again. You are ready in Ogun State. Then say, okay, turn back. By the time they were just following the star, they finally got to Bagada. They now saw the thing stay. Say, ah, this must be the place. And they came in and saw a young child. They did not even ask. Is it the star had enough information. They were not moved by what was in front of it. You may be a child, you may be an adult, you may be a young boy. But the star told them this is the person. Don't be naive. People know stuff about you that you don't know two things about, two cents about. The Bible says when they saw it, they were they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And they came, they fell down, they worshipped him, opened their treasures, and presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense. And some of these items were very instrumental when he was going to die. They were similar items that surfaced in his birth and surfaced in his death. Very significant. Alright. Now, this short story I just shared with you is to let you appreciate how important the birth of Jesus is. Number one, I want you to know that just like Jesus was born with a specific destiny, you are also born with a divine destiny in God. Hallelujah. Your background regardless, you might not even have anyone to cry on their shoulders. You may not have parents. You might be victimized, abused. But I want you to know that God's mind about you has not changed. And even when Jesus could not do anything about it, Mary did not know they were looking for her son. God still protected him. In the same way, God is committed to your divine protection because he thought about you before you were formed. Hallelujah. So even when we pray and we fast, it does not take away the sovereignty of God. The fact that this whole conversation started because God was interested. That your life is a project in God's hands. That even this, your desire to follow God, didn't start with you. God put that desire there. There are some of you now, if you decide to be wayward and live anyhow, nobody will challenge you in your house. Huh? Nobody will challenge. Do I have people like it? Like you just decide to get pregnant because that's what your mom did. That's what you have several of your aunts that did the same. They will just tell you, welcome to the family. And I've ministered to people like that. There are one or two of them that have joined the marriage like that. But they didn't really have a good family background. They didn't. But it did not stop Jesus from doing something definite. So what is it about this man? Why did God choose the method with which he brought Jesus into the world? Why did he choose this method? Why is Jesus so significant? I am here to tell you that the birth of Jesus marks the beginning of your own story. Hallelujah. The beginning of your own story. The birth of Jesus marks the beginning of your own story. This must enter your heart. The birth of Jesus marks the beginning of my story. The birth of Jesus marks the beginning of my story. The birth of Jesus marks the beginning of my own story. You must see yourself within that equation. We are not raising Christians who are mystics and people who want to be gods outside Christ. No. Your story is captured in his story. Hallelujah. Now let's consider Mary. Mary, some of my friends in my former church, they said she went to heaven, that Jesus is very busy, that if I want to get what I want quickly, I should pray to Mary. I'm here today on behalf of our mother Mary to tell you that email is no longer working. The server is down. Send all requests to Jesus. That's not her job. It's not her job. We honor her because she did one thing right. God gave an assignment to Eve and Adam. They couldn't do it. An angel came only once, spoke to Mary. She wasn't a prophet. She saw an angel once. The angel said that you have been chosen to bring the Savior. She asked one or two questions. Okay, she didn't fully understand. She now said, be it unto me according to your word. When the prophecy manifests, we'll be understanding on the way. The problem with many of us is that we want to get so many details. We want to get every detail. At the end of the day, we are not even doing anything. You now have a very big book, My Prophecies. This one is from Pastor Benga. No, it's a prophet. It's a prophet. You now came to me, say, prophet, there's something you told me 7 years ago. You've not deleted it. He says, He said, I'm still waiting. I look for another prophecy. 7 years. You have a big book. That's how you read it every morning. The angel said to Mary, you have been chosen. You are blessed. What kind of woman or young lady? Church history tells us she must have been somewhere between 16, the age range of 16. And God found her so significant for that purpose, for that transaction. Now, this also brings us to another point about Mary. That when God wants to do something major with your life, it starts early. It starts early. And if he has to interrupt your life as an adult, he will do it like Paul. It will be very dramatic. So let me tell you, all those people that are shouting, I was in one meeting, we went there to destroy the church. Seven angels arrested me. Oga, we have been trying to get you since you were 16. The reason why we sent all these angels is because you are stubborn. You are just burning diesel and everything to come and arrest you. We don't need it. Don't remove the guy's eyes. Say, what will you have me do, Lord? Now he's talking. Shebi, now you cannot go anywhere. Okay, you cannot. Be on the floor, dear. We are coming. Don't leave me. Lord Jesus, it is good. Ask for Ananias. I will not preach to you. When you get to that village, ask for Ananias. Jesus appeared. He saw the light. He saw the glory. Jesus now told him, go and look for it. How humbling can he be? Lord, you are here. It's just like some of you saying, Lord, reveal, I've seen your glory. Maybe God said, no, go and download Pastor Benga's message. But Jesus, you are here. You can talk to me. I'm your child. He said, go and look for Ananias. Sometimes God will do some things just to you will know that you are nothing. That your name is only your name because you are still breathing. The day you die, they will say that body, bring the body. They will even refer to you as they say the body. Even the people who don't believe that they're spirit, soul, and body, they will still call you body because they believe the life in you is gone. Please understand. The scripture says in the book of Lamentation, it is good for a man to bear his yoke while he is young. There are certain times it just becomes late. It becomes late sometimes. Imagine Jesus at 30 years, when he should be baptized, now strolling that, I'm bored. I heard there are some people gathering somewhere to be baptized. He will now sit down there eating bread, watching John the Baptist. Imagine you, that in your nation, you have no age mate. He was the only one who celebrates birthday at that age. Just two of them, him and John. So when you look at the life of Mary, you can draw a lot of lessons. That many times, if God wants to do something major with you, he will start early. Number two, when the Lord wants to do some great things with you, he will start quietly. Quietly. When the Lord visited Mary, even the pastor did not know. I know you like the fact that your pastor, hear me now. When the angel came, the pastor of Mary's pastor, the high priest, did not know. The pastor was among those that gave information. Hello. I say Mary's pastor was among those that gave the information to Herod. Did you see the high priest, the scribes? The high priest is like the GU in that Kedah. He went for that meeting, ate, collected honorarium, sold out a church member. Are you not surprised that when God wanted to dedicate his son, he didn't allow those high priests to do it? Hello, are you still here? The high priest traveled. He was busy. Went for a pastor's conference. It was a prophet and prophetess. Because these ones, their head are correct. If those prophets, Anna and Simeon, if they had gone for that executive council meeting at the governor's office, God will not allow them to dedicate his son, because they are murderers. That decision alone to attend that meeting in Herod's palace killed many babies. However, the Lord was walking quietly with Mary. So who is Jesus? Jesus, being the center and the most attractive aspect of Christianity, is today the most vilified and hated even among Christians today. When you hear people say, I am a Christian or I go to church, it's not because they love Jesus many times. Yes, you may not know this, but think about this. Okay, let's start with you. When you look at your relationship with God, when was the last time that God had a conversation with you about the state of your relationship with him? Not as a pastor, not as a whatever, just, my son, you've been far away from me. I know my people in the new creation reality, they will say we are in Christ, Christ is in them. That's not what I'm talking about. I know you are in Christ. Even me, I am in Christ. What I'm saying is, in terms of your relationship with God, when last did God have a conversation with you? Just like, let's talk about us. That's one. Number two, are you aware that if I decide that let's all get up now and pray, and I said, let's pray for every lost soul in Mende, Maryland, the voice will be like a humming, like a humming sound. It will not, even if you increase the tempo of the microphone, it will not rise above a level. But when I open a particular chapter in Psalm or in Isaiah, and I say, for they shall surely gather, but not by me. For those who shall rise against me shall fall for my sake. Brethren, lift up your voice and begin to pray. It's as if all of a sudden, everybody wakes up. It seems that for most people who try to come close to God is for selfish reasons. It seems. So don't look at the messenger. Just open your Bible and check. But go and look at everyone who had personal agendas relating with God and see how far they went. I want you to know that the subject of your prosperity didn't start with you. It was God's plan. The fact that God wants you to be healed in your body was not your desire. God thought about it first. So what type of person was Jesus, or is Jesus? How come that today we have successfully replaced him with Santa Claus? Why is it that today the seriousness of the gospel of Jesus is no more before our eyes? And even as pastors, we now want our pastors to be comedians. We want our pastors to dance, and then we'll video it and put on Instagram. They would dance for us. And there's an editing team doing that work. A pastor, you know, somebody made a statement. He said, everything that I have used against your church, he was speaking about a church. He said, everything I used against you people were the information you people put on your own Facebook and Instagram page. I didn't go looking for it. You guys put it there. If you find a pastor that is preaching, instead of him to be preaching and there's record a bit of the message and put it, you just see him doing like this and everybody falls under the anointing. And every two services, he keeps scraping everybody and they keep falling. Okay, so there's something about this you want us to see. Or I pray. One pastor, you know, in the UK, US, they use all this credit score system. And one pastor is very known to pray. And people will just get the credit score will suddenly change and become very good, you know. So he also prays and money appears in people's pocket, until later he was caught red-handed. All right, what I'm saying is that if I sit down here today from now to next year and I begin to teach you about how to make your relationship with God functional, say, that pastor, he's trying, we want prophecy. Prophecy. Oh God. See, the everywhere is even quiet now. Let us prophesy. Can we prophesy for 10 minutes? So people can even ginger. Prophecy has a way of getting people activated. And there's nothing wrong with it too. You know, if I tell you something, it's not because I'm angry. That's my field. But I'm just telling you that if you don't pay close attention, you may not know who you have come to meet. Jesus, our Lord, asked the people he was preaching to when he was speaking about John. He said, who did you come out to see? This John that you people are talking about, do you even know who John is? The people knew John as the baptizer. Jesus knew John as Elijah. Are you still here? Is it possible that you have a different identity that people know you with, separate from what God is calling you? I remember a few years ago, and please just don't take this personal. It's not your prophecy, it's mine. I had a vision one day, many years ago. And in that vision, the Lord came to me and called me. He said, Elijah. And he said, it's not my name. He said, no. He said, after the order of Elijah. And a few information were being circulated there, which is not for the airwaves. But when I woke up, that was when I began to think that, is it possible that the Lord sees us very differently? And that many times the reason why we miss out on God is because we are not even sure. We are not clear about how he sees us. So if you are not clear, then many times the message you need to hear is, arise and shine, for your light has come. Because the moment your light comes and you rise, you become another person. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's read, what is that popular scripture? Isaiah chapter 9. That's where most churches will read today. Today is the only day we all agree on one chapter. Alright? Let's read from verse 6. Now, if you read from the first 5 verses, one of the things you will find is that there was a picture of spiritual, a picture of warfare that was being painted. Praise the Lord. I know what he's doing, you people. And I will not give you. Today, we want to celebrate Jesus. So, if you want prophecy, you come next Sunday. There was a time I told myself, I will stop prophesying in this church. I told myself. I said, and do you know my reason? I just said, I don't want a situation in which, if I'm no more the pastor of this church, they will start putting the new pastor under pressure. Say, Pastor David is very humble. Say, he's a pastor. Pastor Tokwe. No. If Pastor Tokwe comes up and says, Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, Jesus is the life, there is no life outside Jesus, I want you to be shouting, amen, hallelujah, amen. The newcomers will wonder, what is he saying now? Huh? Is Jesus not the way? Why are you not shouting? If you know Jesus, why are you not shouting? Is it possible that you are spiritually cold and dead? That's why you are not shouting. If you know Jesus is the way, do you know what that translates to? That without this way, you are doomed to perdition. So why are you not shouting? A brother went to preach to he was on an evangelism campaign on the street, and he was preaching, and then he was sharing the gospel with someone, and he was telling the person about how Jesus loves him, how Jesus died for him, how Jesus wants to redeem his soul. And the brother that he was preaching to started weeping. And he was excited that, wow, we have gotten a soul today. The Holy Spirit has touched this one. And after some time, the brother stopped crying. He said, sorry, sir. Did Jesus really do all these things? He said, yes. He said, why are you not crying? The person that was preaching, his eyes were dry. But the person he was preaching to was broken. So you are preaching to me and I start weeping. You now notice you've caught me. You now started putting pepper, come to him. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you. I was crying. I'm a sinner. I just stopped. I said, wait. This Jesus, did he die for you too? He said, yes. Why are you not crying? Is it the same Jesus? Because, okay, he said he has cried this one before. There's a level of brokenness. There's a level of perception. There's people look at you and they know. I am persuaded that one of the reasons why we do not really experience God the way we should is because we don't know who Jesus is. If someone says Jesus is a prophet, they can show you in the Bible. And I will agree with you. Yes, Jesus is a prophet. Is he not a prophet? He is more than a prophet. Jesus is an apostle. is the bishop of our souls. The my people from my former religion, they will tell you that it's like my spiritual senses are waking now, but let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9 and from verse 6. Yes. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called the word wonderful. Here translated is called marvelous. Woo! Hallelujah. Marvelous. I'm telling you. When I checked the Hebrew, where is Busayo? I thought I saw her. Busayo is my no, it's even here. I have it. Okay. Come and read it, Loretta. Look at the, some of you will like this one. Look at the, what is the Hebrew word there?
Pele.
Pele. Pele. There's a footballer in Brazil called Pele. I think he's dead now, right?
Yes,
uh-huh. So Pele. What is the first word you have here?
Marvelous thing.
Marvelous thing. That's for the word, wonderful. Thank you very much. Wonderful. Marvelous. Marvelous. That's a name you can give your child. Marvelous. Marvelous. See, his name shall be called wonderful. Marvelous. Wonderful. Full of wonders. Wonder. Even as a child, receiving the worship of kings and mortal men. As a child, untouchable, unkillable. Wonderful. I'm introducing Jesus to you because some people are not aware. They will read this scripture for days, this December. They will still not see it. Christmas is about introducing Jesus. It's not about wearing red or putting your child on Santa Claus's. I think all the Santa Claus, they are not even around this year. Sakpa has dealt with everybody. Sakpa is real. There's no fuel to come to Nigeria. Normally, before around this time, you will see them out. My brother, if you try that business this year, you may not make it to bring one message out here. Children are born, but sons are given. Huh? Children are born, huh? But sons, come, Busayo. Huh? This is what it means to be a son. Anytime I am not here, if you see her, huh? She can sign anything on my behalf. That's the biblical definition of a son. Someone that has what it takes to represent the father. Someone that can use the father's name. And there's that ceremony they always go through at the age of 12 that brings them into sonship. Before that age, the son cannot use his father's name. The same way, when Jesus was on earth, we could not use his name until he was about to die and say, up till now, you've not asked anything in my name. Ask that your joy may be full. If Jesus had stayed there, none of us would be able to use his name. But because he was going, he presented us and said, okay, these are my children. Anytime you see them, they can represent me. Children are born. Sons are given. They are presented. They are presented. The word given is the word Nathan.
Yeah.
That's Pastor David's son. Nathan. Yeah. Given. Nathan. Huh? And it means to make. To make. Sons. Children are born. But we make sons. We take them into the factory. We make them. They don't just show up. Because when they come out, they represent the kingdom. They represent the family. Another word from that word, Nathan, is the word appoint. Children are born. Sons are appointed. That's powerful. That's powerful. So to be appointed is, in quotes, within the context of being an ambassador. Huh? You are sent to another country to colonize those countries. I am convinced now that I can actually walk into any country as long as they speak English. Huh? And I can, without knowing anybody, start something. I said, I am convinced now that all I need, if the Lord wants to be gracious, is two people, two of us. Huh? But I can actually walk into a country, as long as they speak the language English, I can walk in there and start something. So when I traveled, I don't know, where was it? When I went to East Africa, I noticed that most of them had an impression about Nigerians that were loud and prideful, but they still prefer us. Yeah. So when I got there, I came out of my hotel room and I walked down to the receptionist and I said, how are you? What's your name? What's your name? They're like, you Nigerian, Abi? I said, you are so bold. You just see people minding their business. You ask them what their name. I said, yeah. I said, what do you do? What's your qualification? So what's your plan next year? What's your vision? That was when I knew that in some countries, certificate course in hospitality is a big deal. I didn't know it was a... Me, it's like you're wasting your time. Certificate course in hospitality, what's that? Say, I did a 6-month program so I could get this job. I say, no university? Say, no. This is it. Say, so what's your plan? Say, this is what I want to do. Ah. One of the girls said to me when I was leaving, say, can you take me with you? I'll follow you. Take me to Nigeria. I say, that's the best thing they get wife. No bride price, no thing. Very pretty girl. Say, I just want to follow you. Like, just that 1 week I spent there, our horizon just broadened. Say, can I go with you? I can go with you. Well, if you go, you send for, like, say, if I come, will I go to university? I say, yes. Say, can you sponsor me? I say, well, if you're in Nigeria, why not? I'll sponsor you. Say, can you take me? That's a very serious question, because we need to define what take is. But I realized that when the Lord said, I have appointed you, what it means is that you can now colonize nations. When I got to that country, I didn't know any pastor. I didn't know anybody. But I preached in a church that Sunday. The pastor of that church was even in Nigeria recently. Unfortunately, he was in Abuja. So he thought Abuja was next door to Lagos. I say it's not next door. He will still enter plane. Another day, when you come to Lagos, I will bring you here. With that is very Kenyan accent. The way you preach and speak Yoruba, why preach is the way they speak Swahili. I started learning Swahili there. Sons are given. Sons are appointed. I've given you Kenya. I've given you Europe. I've given you that your multinational organization company is now yours. You are still not catching it. Say, sons are appointed. You'll be saying, okay, we are sending you to the world of IT. You will meet with warfare, but after then, it's yours. Amen. That's what it means to be appointed. Look at the warfare that followed the birth of Jesus alone. Look at the warfare. Look at even this same scripture we are reading, Isaiah 9, verse 5, just before it said, unto us a child is born. Verse 5. Give me verse 5. I want you to see how this whole thing is about blood. Verse 5. For every battle, can you see? You people don't read this part. You just jump to unto us his son is given. Look at it. For every battle of the warrior is with what? Confused noise. And the garments are rolled in blood. But this, come on, say this. This shall be with what? Burning the fuel of... What is he talking about? Verse 6. This one. This battle will not be with blood. It will be with fuel and fire. What is he talking about? For unto us to execute this cancer. Huh? Do you remember that when Jesus came to the world, the prophecy came forth again. He said, for this one will not baptize with water, but with what? The Holy Ghost and what? Fire. Look at it. It's in verse 5. Some of you, there are some places, once you start reading from verse 1, and you see, nevertheless, there shall be vexation of spirit. You just move to the next chapter. My portion is not with vexation. It's with blessing. He said it shall be called wonderful. It shall be called counselor. The word counselor is the word Yawat. Counselor. To advertise. To consult. To devise. To guide. Purpose. It shall be called counselor. It shall be called the mighty God. The word God there is the word hell. E-L. Hell. And most of God's name has the, you have the L thing there. You know, Elohim. El Shaddai. So you now find that this mighty God that he was referred to is not just Elohim. It is hell. And whatever you put behind it. You are still not here. Because there are people who know Jesus as their savior. They don't know him as their deliverer. I said this new year we are coming into. The Lord will be to you according to your revelation. Amen. This is what the enemy tried to destroy by giving us Santa Claus, a pot-bellied man, signifying indiscipline, unhealthy lifestyle. People find it easy to believe Santa Claus, but struggle with Jesus. The Bible calls him the Counselor and the Mighty God. He was also introduced to us as the Everlasting Father. Perpetuity, everlasting, old. The word everlasting, old. Abagba, old. Eternity, the eternal father. I like that. Some people are very, have their way with words. The eternal father. I like that one. The eternal father, the everlasting father. The prince of peace. Come on, shout hallelujah. The word prince there signifies chief, captain, general, governor, lord, master, ruler, steward, principal, keeper. Is your keeper. This is Jesus. Bro. But when they came to look for his star, they met a boy. He didn't change who he was. This is the prophecy. The Pharisees, they knew. But they had to kill him because he didn't fit their definition of a king. He didn't change God's mind. The same way God's mind has not changed about you. He didn't change God's mind. He didn't change God's mind. He didn't change God's mind. Listen to me. God, if God makes up his mind about you, no matter if you like, even if your pastor reports you to God, God will not change his mind. Because your pastor is a finite being. Once you have this revelation of who God is, you will rest. Knowing that if he is your keeper, then he that keepeth Israel does not sleep, neither does he slumber, so that when you go to bed, you sleep, because he giveth his beloved sleep. Don't separate the revelation from who he is. It's just like saying, Jehovah Rapha, he is my healer. No, there is a Jehovah before the Rapha. The Jehovah is the custodian of what you are seeking for. Don't separate the revelation from the person. He is Rapha. He is Rapha. But he reveals himself to you as healing because that is what you need. During our 14 days fasting, all my spiritual sons in the UK reached out to me and sent me a screenshot of a message. I was sharing with my wife yesterday. Somebody, you know, the brother just sent the link of the service, online service, to some people in his network. And a lady with SS joined. SS. As at the time she joined, she was reading in pain. She had been in pain for days. So the brother just sent me the chat where the lady was thanking him, saying that, look, I don't know what happened after that meeting, till now, the pains are gone. You know, the lady joined for the first time. Meanwhile, some people were breaking their fast while I was leading prayer. Say, God understands. Don't separate the revelation from the person. Jesus is Rapha. Jesus is Shaddai. He is all these things in one. That's why if you look at the word mighty God, they didn't say Elohim. They said El. Because that means there is a space for every other thing to fit in. In that El, is the husband of the widow. Is the father to the fatherless. In that El, he is your provider. In that El, he is your keeper. In that El, he is whatever destiny requires at that moment. In that El, he is the provider of the next season. He brings the next season to you. This is your Jesus. So that when you choose, where is Michael? I beg, make we enter this thing. Make we, where is Joseph? So that when you want to praise him, the Bible, David says, praise the Lord with understanding. The Jesus that went to the cross is not the one that woke up. Hallelujah. Because when Jesus finally resurrected from the grave, and I believe personally that the birth of Jesus and his death and resurrection are the most important festivals. And please don't let anybody deceive you that we should not do any festival. We will do festival, we will dance, we will eat. Huh? Because we know why we are doing it. Some people want you to be moody. No, we are not going to be moody. Our king is born. I say our king is born. And no matter what history tries to say or do, he is still alive. None of them can point to his grave. Hallelujah. No historian can point to his grave. The whole gospel is hinged on the fact that Jesus, history has the record that he came, and they don't know where his burial ground is. That's it. That's your Jesus. So, the one who performs according to his own counsel. He walked into a wedding. He didn't have to be there. He didn't have to do it. He just used what was available and turned water to wine. He can use anything. I said he can use anything. I said he can use anything. The prophet said to that woman, what do you have in your house? He said, oh, that one is enough. Just a small jar is enough. Please tell your neighbor it's enough. Some of you are looking for missing items. You see that your mouth is what you will use to market yourself. And that one is enough. Hallelujah. Don't enter 2025 telling people you are broke, dead, busted, frustrated, depressed, malnourished. Whatever you want the world to know you as in this new year, enter that year with that designation. It's Jesus. I remember just a few days before my father passed, you know, he came into the Lord very late in his life. But while on that sick bed, you know, he said the Lord Jesus started coming to him for a few days, you know, he would come and he would visit him. And he said the first thing he noticed was that he was incredibly younger than what he thought. That just looked very young. Like younger. Just maybe somebody in his maybe 20s, late 20s or so. And said the way he spoke to him, Jesus spoke to him like he was a person, like he was someone that, you know, I don't know if you get that, Jesus. Like, how are you? Like, he just spoke to him like he was a person. He felt like he was a person. There's a particular pastor who had a vision. He went to heaven. And when he saw the glory of heaven, he wanted to kneel and start worshiping. God said, stop. You know, I know you. Right, you have started. You want to start singing. You want to start singing. See, we know you. We have your file. Before we brought you here, you want to start, my master. He said, come, hey, just... let's focus on why you are here. Because I know you go and tell them that when I got there, I sang with the choir. I sang. Let me tell you why we brought you before you before we forget why we are here. I had the story of another man. The man said he had a vision and the angel was showing him around, and then he wanted to ask. Say, please, where is Jesus here? Said Moete, where is the angel? Just put his hand over his mouth. Say, don't mention that name. Say, this is heaven now. Say, where? Say, the moment you mention that name, say, that name is truly exalted. Oh, that name is truly exalted. You are the ones that you are playing video game. You want a PS4 or Mortal Kombat. Jesus. So, it's just one small cockroach or fly. Say, Jesus. He said, in our economy, that name is truly exalted. Truly exalted. He said, whenever that means, he said, every activity never stops. And everybody begins to worship. So I will take you to where it is, but if you don't want to have traffic jam here, just come quietly. That's our Jesus. Yeah. Truly exalted. It must be exalted in your heart and then in your life. That's what it means. Look at the story of when he appeared just after resurrecting, and he saw Mary, and Mary, you know, by the tomb, and he was saying, "Don't touch me." Just look at the way Jesus spoke to people with respect. Jesus never demeaned anybody. Huh? Look at even Thomas. Despite all what those disciples did, say, "Thomas, come, touch me, touch me." Say, "Touch me." You know, there's something about somebody you've lived with. Huh? There's people don't know the power of a touch. You may not want to propose to a lady, but if she touches you, you may marry her before you realize that. Because I'm not joking. Some of you think you're very spiritual. You understand? You don't just touch people. You may be touching more than you bargain for. I went to scripture pastor in Ibadan, Pastor Luby Johnson. So while they were going around, and you know when he said go around, greet, welcome people to church, the Pastor Luby Johnson's wife came to me and she just shook my hand. Ha! See, that 2-3 seconds, I've never held anything so soft. Those hands were like, my God. I never knew my hands were hard until she said, "You're welcome, God bless you." It was that moment of just take me away. Just let me come and be living. Should we build 3 tabernacles? One for Elijah, one for Moses. No 2 hands are the same. I'm telling you. Say, "Now I'm a man of myself. When I stand by a point, when she just touches you, calm down." Say, "Mary." You call her Mary immediately. Mary. 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 This touch. Hallelujah. Don't let some people touch. Jesus told me, he said, "Don't touch me." Don't touch me. Some people, they touch them during the choir. They now giving themselves high five during praise worship. High five. They married. Don't you know choir members who got married?
Yes.
Drummer and choir leader and lead singer. Should I start mentioning the names? We need a true picture of who he is, so that whenever the world tries to give us a wrong information, you will remember that he is El. And if there's something that can really happen for us in this season, it is to see him afresh. To see him in a new way. To see him high and lifted up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are we glad that Jesus came? Are we glad that Jesus is still alive? Are you glad that God is for you? Hallelujah. Shout a big hallelujah. Listen.
Glory,
His glory.
Listen, there is something that is so unique about our Lord, which is in His capacity to forgive, restore, giving us mercy. In the year 2006, I had a major crisis of faith. Please hear me. I had a major crisis of faith. And I knew that most likely I will no longer be a Christian again. I had gotten to that point that I was actually willing to turn back. And please understand that I wasn't a novice spiritually. As at this stage, I had prayed for people who were crippled and they were healed. I had prayed for people who had, you know, near death disease and, you know, situations, and God delivered them. But you see, I had moved to a particular city and I didn't really have the fellowship of saints. I didn't really have believers around me. There were Christians that knew I was a Christian, but in terms of that Christian community that I was committed to, I got to that city and I told myself I didn't want to be committed, so that I just needed a break. You see, that break that I needed was where the problem started from. The devil hit me so bad. I found myself wanting not to be a Christian. I just need this 1 year for myself, 2 years. That was how some people went and they didn't come back. But you see, if they had asked the Lord, look at this boy, you. He has gone back. He's coming back. Say, leave him. Say, did you see what he did yesterday? I committed atrocities without looking back. Like, the life of a sinner. I know why many cannot be Christians. There's nothing, you don't really have any guilt. You don't have anything over your head. You want to do it, you do it. I just took my two legs, kept my Bible somewhere. I used to have a brother that used to come fellowship with me, he will come fellowship with me. But he didn't know at some point that I had a crisis of faith. When he comes, I'll sit with him and we will share scriptures. But you see, Nii is like a spiritual son to me. I could not open up to him. It didn't occur to me to open up to him. I just wanted to be free of Christ. For a while, just leave me. I knew what I was doing, it was not the devil. I was persuaded by the devil. But I owned my decision. When I went and I traveled the world of sin, I got to a point. I broke down. I said, this world is not for me. I came to the conclusion that what I'm looking for
is actually not for me. I knew, but I wanted to prove it again. That peradventure, if I decide to just go on a journey, what will I find? I got to the point. I broke down. I did not want to ask God for forgiveness because I knew what I was doing. It was my choice until God sent someone to me. Someone I had never met. Your master said he's waiting for you. I broke down. I started weeping. He said he has seen everything. He's still waiting for you. Do you want to come back? The person did not pray a prayer of restoration, no. He did not even pray a prayer of restoration. He just laid his hands on me. Most of the times I've had the crisis of faith, my restoration didn't come from prayers, long prayers. They came from the beckonings of mercy. Somebody will just say, Lord, have mercy on your son. And that thing holding me will just let me go. And I perceive this morning that there are one or two people like me. You are going to live here completely free.
Amen.
You will choose again to follow the Lord. Even if you're online, you will feel what I'm saying now. And the shackle of sin will let you go. Come on, say it louder, amen.
Amen.
Come on, say it louder, amen.
Amen.
Now we need an amen that brings Jericho down. Shout amen.
Amen.